Hey friends, I'm Jess Connolly. I'm an author, a coach, a Bible teacher, and a local church leader, and I love talking to real people who know what it means to have full lives, but also want to walk in abundance. This podcast is for you. It's not my podcast, it's ours. It's for people who crave lighthearted conversations and deeply spiritual truth. It's for people who are busy, tired, waiting, growing, dreaming, working, or praying about what's next. Wherever you're listening from, if it's quiet, mundane, or busy, I am praying for you and I'm so glad you're here. Let's go.
Hello, friends. It is Jess's team here. Don't worry, you are still definitely in the right place, and we are so glad that you're here. We are just popping in here before we get to the heart of today's episode to share a quick behind the scenes of what is going on in our world and to ask for your help specifically. If you're listening to this on release day, Jess's newest book, Tired of Being Tired, launches into the world tomorrow on April 9th. We had initially scheduled a dedicated Tired of Being Tired podcast interview and book club episode to go live today. However, Jess is not able to show up as she had planned to this week. She's stepping offline to be with her family and will share about it with you when she's able to. But as God would have it, we recorded this episode early without knowing what all was in store. It's all about community and rest, and we couldn't think of a more fitting episode to release today instead. Because right now, we're practicing what we preach by just allowing us, her community, to step in when she needs it most.
So friends, we're asking every set of ears listening today, will you rally with us and help us launch Tired of Being Tired with victory? Will you share this episode and this book with your community? Click the share button right now and text this episode to a friend who you want to talk about rest with. Send the Tired of Being Tired Amazon link to your sister or mom. Start a reading group with your friends. Your community can be the one that changes the way our culture as a whole looks at rest. Revival can actually start with you. We would love your help to spread the message of this book this week because we believe that every woman deserves realistic rest, and we believe that a community of women who are tired of being tired can change the world. We're tired of being tired, but we're grateful there's another way. Thank you for helping us share the message of this book. We're grateful for you. And now, on to the episode.
Let's say you're into the idea of rest. You're tired of being tired, and you're ready to stop living exhausted. But what in the world do you do about your community? What do you do about your spouse who has a different schedule than you? How do you handle rest if you're an overwhelmed caregiver of small kids? What if you're single and you're not sure how to craft these rhythms alone? Let's talk about it. I think we can believe that our individual community situations will keep us from resting, or we can believe that God has placed us where we're at on purpose. What if we go first on behalf of our community and fight the defeat that says it will always be this way? What if we broke ties with the glorification of busy and the idolization of a toil filled life? What if we defiantly and worshipfully started honoring our own limitations, boundaries, and borders? And what if all of that was so compelling that it started a wave in our communities? I'm Jess Connolly. This is our podcast, and I can't wait to talk about rest in community. Okay, so I say this with love. I say this with compassion. I say this as your friend. Here is what I have found to be true about rest in community. We all have a caveat. We all have a caveat. We all have an asterisk that says, wait, but what about this? We all have an addendum to our rest that says, oh, except for what about in my individual situation? What's really interesting is I've heard a lot of women kind of wrestling through this issue of rest in community. And I wanted to do this podcast about it. I was so excited to talk about it. There's a lot of content about this in the book, In Tired of Being Tired. There's an entire chapter about how to involve your community in your rest. But what's interesting is I put up a little text box, a little question box on my Instagram. And I said, okay, what are your questions about community and rest? And you guys, I'm going to read you some that are right beside each other so that you can see what it looks like for all of our caveats to be right up next to each other and to hear it. These are ones that are right beside each other in the question box as it appears on my phone. Number one, rest feels different and hard as a single woman who lives alone. I don't have a significant other or family nearby. Two, this one is right next to it. How do I manage rest as a caregiver when people seem to depend on me constantly? Here's one right below that that says, just the idea of community exhausts me after many years of burnout. Here's one that is right beside that. How do you rest well when you're in a season when community is lacking? Here's another one. I'm a full-time PhD student. How do I not overwork? How do I rest? This feels impossible. Here's another one. What about with little kids? They don't feel very restful most of the time. Here's another one. I hear the word community and the last word that comes to mind is rest. That's awful. I know, by the way, it's not awful. Here's another one. What if I can't financially afford to rest? So what I'm saying is, if you come into this episode with some kind of caveat, some exception that makes you feel like, I'm just not sure rest is for me, you're in the right spot because we all have a caveat. We all can play devil's advocate to this idea of rest. We can all say like, it would be nice, except for I've got this particular situation. The thing is, I know you guys agree with me about this. We just don't want to advocate for the devil anymore. Most of us are living in seasons that are not built for rest because our current culture isn't built for rest in all settings. So we're going to have to stop playing devil's advocate. We're going to have to stop accepting defeat about our caveats, and we're going to have to start seeing what we can do, what we can shift, and how we can receive God's realistic rest right now. So I want to give you an action step right here at the beginning of this podcast. It is easy. It is free. It's going to take you 30 seconds. And I actually believe it's going to help you feel less alone in your quest to see rest work well in community. So what I want you to do is take a screenshot of wherever you're listening to this podcast, and I want you to text it to at least one person. You could take it too far and say like, hey, will you listen to this podcast and read Tired of Being Tired with me? And I'll talk to you more about that in a little bit. Or you could just text them a screenshot of the podcast and say, hey, I'm just at the very beginning of this episode. I want to understand how we can make rest work in community. I want to listen to this with a friend, with a partner, with a spouse, with a pal. Ask them to join you. Do it right now. Number one, we're just going to kick the enemy in the teeth and say that community and rest don't go together, or that community and rest don't go together for us in this season. And we're going to invite someone in to walk through this, to talk about it with after you're done listening to the podcast. Here's the great news. If you totally disagree with me, you can talk about that. I'll give you content. You know what I'm saying? If you're like, hey, this was helpful and thoughtful and we can talk about that, amazing. But if you're like, oh, I don't agree with Jess at all, then I've just given you something to bond over. And that's a real community builder. So we all have a caveat. Invite somebody in right now. Here's the third thing we're going to talk about. The one thing that all of us can do to see rest flourish in our communities is this. We can all begin changing the language we use when we talk about rest. So let me give you an example. You walk into church on a Sunday morning and you see somebody that you kind of know, but you don't really know, and you're visiting and you're catching up and you're getting ready to sit down. If you have kids, maybe you're taking your kids into childcare. If you don't, maybe you're getting a cup of coffee. And you meet the person and you walk up and they say, hey, how are you doing? And you say what almost every person in America says, something along the lines of like, I'm tired, busy, I'm just tired, busy, but good. Why? Why in the name of Jesus have we accepted this dialogue that we're always some combination of tired, busy, and good? Maybe we can start to pause and say, do I want to keep saying I'm tired and I'm busy? Is that the language I want to keep using about my life? Or do I want to pause and maybe do something about that? Because in the name of Jesus, I would love if a year from now, when someone asks you how you're doing at church, you would say, I feel whole. I feel awake. I'm present. I'm excited. I'm expectant. I'm hopeful. I would even be okay if you said, I'm feeling heavy. I'm feeling tender. I'm a little bit confused right now because all of those are words and language that root you in how you actually are and not words that come into agreement with this culture that we always have to be moving forward. We always have to be going at a pace that is not sustainable and that we always have to be tired. So you might not be able to get your spouse to take a Sabbath. You might not be able to get your boss to give you better hours. You might not be able to get your friends to have a more restful life. You might not be able to get your toddlers to take naps. But what you can do right now is change your language about how you talk about your life and your fatigue. You can notice the glorification of busy, exhausted, and over-responsible at a cellular level with the very words you use. Let me give you some other language to watch for that actually has a lot to do with exhaustion. You can watch language calling yourself a people pleaser or a perfectionist. If we're being honest, both of these things are idol worship. So wanting to please people and wanting to get everything perfect, number one, are not the aim of our life if by grace through faith you walk with God, but also they are two different rhythms or two different issues that will keep us living exhausted because of striving over and over again. So watch your own language when you talk about yourself. Don't keep calling yourself a people pleaser or a perfectionist. Here are two more quick little shifts that you can make in your language that actually will help build rest into your community. You can stop apologizing for saying no, needing rest, or setting boundaries. This is difficult, it is not easy, and it is a hard pattern to break. Let me give you an example. Somebody at church says like, hey, any chance you have time to go on a coffee date this week? Would love to catch up with you and pick your brain about a couple of things. If you know you actually do not have the margin for that, if you know that that is not something that God is giving you space for in this year, in this life, in this season, instead of saying, no, I'm so sorry, I can't make it, you say, I really wish I could, but that is not something I have margin for in this season. Maybe at X date. Notice how the one word we took out of that was sorry. Let's say that a friend says, hey, a bunch of us are going out to dinner on Friday night. Would love to have you. And you know, hey, that sounds a lot of fun, but I need a little emotional or mental or physical margin before I get into the weekend. Instead of saying like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I wish I could. I'm just so crazy. It's been such a crazy time. You say, thank you so much for the invite. I really wish I could be there, but I'm unable to do that. Express gratitude instead of an apology when you need to say no, need rest, or set a boundary. Lastly, one massive way that we can build rest into our communities is by stopping glossing over how exhausted we are. If you are tired, if you are exhausted, if you are at a point of spiritual, mental, physical, or emotional burnout or breakdown, you do not have to keep pretending like it's okay and it's normal. Tell people in your life. Tell people who can support you. Tell people who might be able to give you help. But do not feel like you have to keep pushing and keep going without any kind of break or any kind of help. That isn't strength. It's actually weakness. To continually ignore your own boundaries and your own borders is not even God glorifying. It's actually making you miss out on expressed intimacy with God and His compassion toward you to give you the care and help that you need. Amen? So, number one, we all have a caveat. Number two, invite somebody in right now. Number three, anyone and everyone can change the language around rest. Number four, this is a big deal and there is a huge whole section in Tired of Being Tired about it. When it comes to rest and community, my biggest encouragement for you is to invite, don't incite. Invite, don't incite. This is going to be my encouragement for you for almost any encouragement you want to see in your community. No one changes from being shamed. When people make changes in their life from shame, they are not long-lasting, and they're not rooted in grace, and they're not rooted in compassion. So what I mean is that you can go to the people in your life after reading Tired of Being Tired, or after hearing about it, or after listening to a podcast on rest, and say like, oh my gosh, we are such a mess. We never rest. This is such a problem. We have hustle culture. It's blah, blah, blah. Or you can invite them into rest. You can actually change your own rhythms, pay attention to what you can control, what rhythms you can shift. You can get inside your own circle of holiness, which is essentially the authority and autonomy you have over your own life, your own decisions, your own sin, your own righteousness, to make the decisions that are right for you in a worshipful way. And then you can watch people be compelled by the fruit and healing that they see in your life. But if you go to everyone else and try to shame them into making changes, they will not want to. Here's the other part. Most people are waiting to be invited. So go low and gentle. Talk about your convictions. Talk about how God's changing your heart. Talk about what you need and the shifts that you're making. And instead of inciting anger and frustration and shame in them, instead of making them feel like they're less than because this isn't something they already know, instead of telling them everything that's wrong with them, invite them in to rest. One of the questions that I got when I asked on social media about what questions you guys had is one person said, how do I call out my husband who's bad at rest? Let me say it like this. You don't. We don't call anybody out. Now, we can call our people up, but we are not Pharisees who stand around people who are sinning and draw a line in the sand and say, they're over there and we're over here. We are all sinners. And by grace through faith, if you walk with Jesus, we are all at the foot of the cross. And we all need growth, and we all need sanctification, and we all need Jesus. So we don't have the capacity to call anybody out, to make them feel shame, to make them feel other. Now we can go to the closest people in our life and we can call them up. We can say, I think that this is what it will look like for us to come into alignment and agreement with what God says about us, with who He made us to be. But still, one of the most compelling ways to do that is to live changed in front of them and compel them with the light and healing and freedom in your own life. Don't incite your people. Don't make them feel angry or shamed or called out. Do invite them into rest and go tender and low and tell them the ways that God is changing your heart and your mind. Your people, your friends, your family, they are so incredibly influenced by you. It's not your responsibility to change their minds or their lives, but it can be your honor to invite them into something new and healthy. And then you will get the joy of seeing healing and refreshment come to their lives, and you will have an ally in the fight against fatigue. You will have a partner or many to help you stay on the path when hurrying, striving, and distracted living threaten to make you settle for tired. You aren't alone right now, but you won't even feel alone when you invite others to join you on this journey. You are a culture changer, a world shifter, a woman who takes the rest God gives her and encourages others in the same way. From where I sit, where I record my podcast in my house, I can look at my very favorite piece of Lindsay Letters art that is on my wall. Lindsay Letters is an online store for people who want to create meaningful spaces in their lives. I'll also tell you that Lindsay of Lindsay Letters is a dear and good friend of mine, and I love her, and she has blessed me with her artwork for years now, and I buy a new piece almost once a year because I'm obsessed with her art and how it makes me feel. Lindsay specializes in abstract artwork with color palettes ranging from subdued neutrals to bright and bold, and she actually has over 300 pieces of art to choose from, including landscapes, vintage reproductions, some with just beautiful hand lettering and meaningful words. And she has art that's available as small scale art prints or huge, large scale framed canvases, and really honestly, everything in between. If you've ever looked at my Instagram and seen a piece of art in the background, it's Lindsay's because I love her art. I love what she does. I love her eye, and I love knowing her and knowing the beautiful, soulful thoughts behind her artwork. She is incredible just at creating really meaningful and inspiring pieces of art. I would love to offer you a 20% off code, which is huge, a 20% off code to apply to anything on Lindsay's website. And our hope is that when you see the art on your wall, it serves as a reminder that you're worthy of all the beauty the world has to offer. The code is JESS20, and it will get you 20% off your purchase. I cannot wait to see what you get. Tag me in it. I want to see the art that you pick for your house. Okay, because I love you guys and I want to serve you and I want to be on your team, let me be your rest coach and let's get into some of these really specific caveats that people asked about. So here is a top one that's coming up in lots of different forms and lots of different formats. My spouse won't rest. What do I do? If I try to take a Sabbath, he doesn't want to join me. If I try to stop working at night, he doesn't want to do that. If I want to go on vacation, he's not into that. So I say this as a woman who loves God, who loves the leadership that God has given me in my husband. And I love the way that God has patterned families and given us this mutual and beautiful submission to one another, to follow each other, to grow together, and to learn together. And so I say what I'm about to say with the most humility and the most gentleness. You actually don't need your spouse's permission to rest. Would it be nice if you had not only their permission, but their blessing? Would it be nice if they encouraged you in your rest? Would it be nice if in this season they were the one leading the charge? It would. But life is not always that tidy or that easy in relationship. I had so many women saying, like, what do I do if my husband is not the one leading in rest? And I would say, like, you still take God at his word because you are a daughter of God apart from your spouse. You still have to honor God in your own body, in your own spirit, in your own mind, and in your own emotions. And you don't need your spouse's permission or blessing to rest. God has given you invitation. God has said to you as his individual daughter, don't you know that I love you? I give rest to those that I love. God has given you the commandment to rest in the Ten Commandments. You don't need invitation. You don't need blessing from another human to take it. Now, that being said, it's also probably not going to go great in your marriage if you come at your husband and you get frustrated, or come at your spouse if you're a man listening to this and say, like, you are awful at this. You're so bad at resting. I'm going to do it on my own anyways. I think we all know that that's not the compassionate or humble way to handle this. But I think when we go to our spouses and say, listen, I understand your hesitation. I understand, like, you've got your own perspective on this. At the end of the day, I need to honor God. I need to obey God. And so I'm going to start making some shifts to my life. I'm not going to put this burden or this expectation on you. I'd love to invite you into it. But if it makes you uncomfortable, if you're not ready for it, that's your decision. You are your own person and you're your own child of God as well. And then you start developing rhythms of rest that work for you. Another version of this is, like, what if my spouse and I rest differently? And that's real. Or even another version of this that I got was, what if my spouse and I have different rest days? That's okay. All of those things are okay. My husband and I rest in wildly different ways. And we both mutually know what helps the other person rest. And we give each other space to do that. And some of the things we try to see if they can overlap, but the other things we do on our own. And we bless each other for taking what the other person needs to be fully recreated by God. So rest doesn't have to be done in community. It is very helpful if there is a culture of rest, but you don't have to do all of it together all the time in the exact same way. Let's talk about resting as a parent or a caregiver. I want to advocate really quickly for our Find Your Sabbath guide because it's valuable for all people, I believe, and I think it'll help you. But especially if you have small kids at home and you keep asking this question over and over and over again, we made you a guide to help you build a day of rest. And it's free when you get one copy of Tired of Being Tired. You can find it at jessconnolly.com/tired of being tired. It's not going to be free forever, but it's free for just a little bit more time. We're making it available to you. So if you haven't already used the Find Your Sabbath guide, go get one copy of Tired of Being Tired. And you can get it for free. So that is going to help you a lot build a day of rest, but also some rhythms of rest in your life. But here are my top tips. You're going to have to let people help you. You're going to have to ask for help. You're going to have to take the moments of relief as they come and not use them to get ahead in other areas. Let me tell you what I'm saying, moms. When your kids are napping, when they are asleep, when they are distracted for a moment, you're going to have to not tidy the playroom. You're going to have to not make a Pinterest perfect lunch for the next day. You're going to have to let the laundry basket do what the laundry basket is made for. And the problem with a lot of us as moms, and this was absolutely a problem for me when I had small kids, it wasn't just that I had no time to rest. It was that I didn't take the time I had to rest because I wanted to be a good mom in all the other areas that actually didn't have anything to do with loving and leading my kids. I wanted to, again, have a tidy playroom. I wanted to have all the towels clean all the time in case somebody stopped by. I wanted to have a good meal plan for the next week. And all of those things are good and fine and important. But if they're coming before you receiving rest, they're not working. They're not working for you. Get comfortable with things going undone. Laundry and dishes. Know that this might not be your season for serving a ton or showing up in other ways, and that's okay. This is my very big encouragement for all moms or all people who are caregiving in any way, shape, or form. Your people need to see you rest. Your 2-year-old, your 20-year-old, the people you're discipling, they need to see you rest. They need to hear you say, "I'm sorry, I can't do that," or "I'm sorry, we can't do that right now." They are going to learn what rest looks like from watching you receive it. Let's talk about your boss, your leader, or anyone who is an authority to you. I get this question a lot. What do I do if I'm working at a church and the lead pastor doesn't believe in Sabbath? I don't even know what to do. I'm so sorry. Can you send him Tired of Being Tired or this podcast? It might not help. I don't know, man. This is hard, whether you're in a secular community or whether you are in a spiritual community. And my encouragement for you is very direct, but I say it with a lot of compassion. At the end of the day, I want to point us to Daniel, who held his line despite cultural advances against what he knew was obedient to God. At the end of the day, I think of Jesus, honestly, who was born into a culture that was being very threatened to blur the lines of rest and celebration. I think about how he was coming against a Pharisaical culture that wanted to write rest rules, and he spoke against that. But he also was coming against a political culture that wanted to write rest totally out of the culture, that didn't want God's people resting at all. And he still rested. And so at the end of the day, this is my encouragement to you, is if you know what it looks like for you to obediently follow God, to take one Sabbath day a week, to be able to get enough sleep, to be able to limit your work to what is actually healthy for your brain, when you know your limits and your boundaries and your borders, you actually need to go to the people in charge of you and say, "These are it. This is what it looks like for me to obey God." And I am so sorry that that takes bravery in 2024, but it does. And I'm so sorry that those are the conversations that you have to have. But I want to tell you that you are never going to regret obeying God. You're just not. You're never going to regret obeying God, even if it has implications for you. And I will tell you that I have compassion for this because there are people in my life who have been disappointed in me, who have walked away from me, who have backed away from me because they have been disappointed in me taking what I needed to truly honor my soul and my own boundaries. And at the end of the day, while that has cost me and it's bummed me out to say the least, it has always been for my good that I honor God before honoring people. All right. I got a lot of questions about this. Like, okay, if I'm in community, let's say your friends are your primary community, or your church family is your primary community, or your kids are your primary community. I got a lot of questions about like, what do I do if all my people want to do stuff all the time? They want to be busy. They want to hang out. They want to do X, Y, and Z. How do I get my kids to not want to do stuff on Sabbath? How do I get my friends to like give me the day off? Number one, you got to shake your head, sister, because if you're believing that Sabbath means you sit at home and listen to quiet background music and like fold your hands, that is not what it has to look like. That's what your Sabbath needs to look like. Awesome. But stop believing Pharisaical rules about what rest is supposed to look like and start finding out what your rest is supposed to look like. Use the Find Your Sabbath guide. Go to jessconnolly.com/tired of being tired and figure out what's life-giving for you. Doing stuff is not anti-rest unless it exhausts you. Okay, lastly, I want to just touch really quickly on the caveat of like really difficult seasonal situations. Hey, I can't afford to take a day off right now. I'm working shift work, like I'm working nights, or I'm in a program where it doesn't work for me to take a day off, or I'm caring for an ailing parent, or I have a medically fragile kid for this season. I want to say like all of these caveats that really are like very difficult and very hard, I want to just hold space for and say, I see you. I see you trying. I know that like the rules of what everybody else say rest should look like might not work for you right now, but there are still realistic ways that you can receive God's rest mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And it's a huge part of why I wrote Tired of Being Tired, because I wanted you to have small, realistic ways that you could experience God's rest. And they are all listed in Tired of Being Tired. I do want to say this about those seasonal situations. The best thing about seasons sometimes is that they end. And so don't believe the lie of defeat that the enemy wants to write over you, that it's always going to be this way. I don't think that has to be true. I think that it might be difficult for a season. It might be hard for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. All right, gals, I believe you are a leader. I believe you are a culture changer, a world shifter. And because of that, I've actually made you a page on my website that has a ton of leadership resources for anyone who has read or wants to read Tired of Being Tired. This is for the woman who says, okay, I know I want to rest, but now I also really want to help other people rest. If you go to jessconnolly.com/lead, you are going to see a ton of different resources I've made, including a guide with teaching videos that I have created for you to have your own rest retreat. Grab a few girlfriends, grab 30 friends, and I have given you step-by-step how to host a rest retreat guide like the one that I hosted just a little bit ago. So I love you and I bless you and I bless your rest and community in Jesus' name. Let me pray for us and we'll get out of here. God, we thank you for the gift of rest. We thank you that you don't want us to just live exhausted and fatigued forever. We thank you that you have invited us into rhythms of rest. And we thank you that you've given us authority and power and autonomy over our own lives, but also influence over the people that we're in community with. Help us to love them well. Help us to lead others well. Help us to encourage and speak life over sustainable paces so that we can go slow enough to be loved by you and fast enough to keep our kingdom urgency. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, I'm so grateful you listened to today's episode. Thanks for spending time with me. It would mean the world to me to connect with you. So you can send me a DM on Instagram at Jess A. Connolly or head to my website, jessconnolly.com, for more ways to connect. If you have a minute to subscribe and leave a review of the podcast wherever you listen, it would massively help us reach more people with the good news that they can live fully awake. Let's go.